There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, it is Jack Gill and welcome to Red Men News. I today am joined by Sam Goodall-Walker and we're both live from Manchester, but Sam's committed to, creating a bit of a Red Men TV studio for himself over there. But without further ado, we'll get cracking into today's news and we start with a bit of transfer gossip. There's a tweet from Steve Carson. I don't know if Tom's got it on the screen or what, but apparently, Liverpool have made a bid of around £27 million for Ajax centre-half Per Schuurs. The report comes from Italian outlet Corriere dello Sport. Maxiangelo said as well that it's quite a reliable source. It's not a reliable source in terms of Italian transfers, but it is legitimate and it does come from there. My initial thought, Sam, is I'm not really sure about this one.
I saw your tweet about that yesterday. I did laugh the first time as well, Jack, to be honest. No, it's a funny one, isn't it? I mean, the only sort of relevance I can see for being made up is because obviously we're in Ajax's group and, you know, playing against them, it might add a little bit of sort of fuel to the fire for next week. I always find these rumours around this time of year, especially when you're in need of a player, so to speak, to be hard to sort of take serious because there's going to be so much bullshit spoken and written about Liverpool and defenders. It's so hard to know if there's any legitimacy to it. Unless Paul Joyce tweets it, I think we all just need to just wait and hold off a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of them things, isn't it, where we're going to get linked with every single centre-back. I think this makes sense because, you know, it's not a centre-back that a lot of people have heard of. And you know, it's not one that's groundbreaking and will come in and be a long-term replacement for Van Dijk and Gomez. It'll be one that, you know, when both Van Dijk and Gomez are fit, he challenges them. But I think he'll be coming in as more a third-choice centre-back when they're all fit. So, it'll be interesting. Let us know in the comments what you think about that. I know before we've done what defender should we get, and everyone seems to want Upamecano really or David Alaba or someone like that. But let us know what you think about Per Schuurs. A bit of good news now. Jordan Henderson is back in training. This has been confirmed by Jurgen Klopp in his press conference ahead of Brighton today. He said that Hendo trained yesterday, parts of team training, and had an individual session. We have to see about tomorrow. The other players who played are in recovery. We have to make late decisions. I can decide a lineup as late as possible, but we have to wait for the medical department. Some good news, Sam. It would be great to have Hendo back.
Massively. I think we massively missed him on Wednesday. Not just his leadership, his spirit, the way he plays the game, his quality, his energy, everything about Henderson sort of, you know, highlights and shows what Klopp's midfield's all about. Midfield's a massive problem for us at the moment. It's funny because people have been talking about our defence all season, haven't they? Saying, oh, you know, Liverpool have got no defenders, but we've actually coped really well. The games that we haven't won, I wouldn't necessarily have put down to, you know, massive defensive issues. It's been a draw nicked late or, you know, the City game and so on. But for me, the midfield is a massive issue at the moment. And if we turn up to Brighton without a re-energised, a ready to go and battle midfield, with potentially Milner, Wijnaldum and Jones, who are all tired, it could really... We could really be up against it later on in that game. So Hendo being back is massive on more than one front. I'm looking forward to seeing him back in the team at the weekend, hopefully.
Yeah, a huge, huge boost. I think that was one of the issues on Wednesday. I think there were many issues on Wednesday. but we definitely missed Jordan Henderson. I think against Leicester, to be fair, we did very well without him. It's not often that we see a performance like that when Jordan Henderson's not on the pitch. So, yeah, that was impressive, but really good to have him back. Moving on, it seems to be at the minute every piece of good news. There's a bad one as well, and this is certainly a bad one, Sam. It's come from Ian Doyle Sport. It's come from a Q&A that he's done for the Liverpool Echo. And he's basically confirmed what we all thought anyway, and that is that Thiago's injury was worse than Liverpool had initially thought. There was never really any chance of him appearing against Leicester or Atalanta, apparently. And when we see him back in training, it will take him a good week at least to get up to speed. What do you make of this, Sam?
Yeah, it's interesting. Me and a few of my mates who have known for a long time having a good chat about this morning in WhatsApp. And one of the lads made a really good point. Why would Klopp sort of tell opposing teams that one of our best players, one of the top players in the world, as per his nomination, is unavailable? He's probably kept it under wraps. It's not great for us as fans, but as long as him and the team know where Thiago stands, I suppose it's not a surprise to anyone. The last thing you want to do is keep telling Brighton, Manchester City, Wolves, Leicester, that Thiago Alcantara's not playing. All that's going to do is give them positive energy before the game. So by almost making out to the media that he's there, he's nearly there, putting the right kind of pictures and videos up on the website, you're almost teasing. I mean, I'll be honest, mate, it's really frustrating. And I think, you know, it just shows just every time we play Everton, what they leave on us, every single time we go to Goodison Park. Last year it was Matip, this year it was Van Dijk, Matip and Fabinho. And Thiago. And it just continues. And that was a really bad challenge. And where we thought we were lucky, maybe we weren't so lucky. You know, if this ends up being a 3-month layoff, you know, it wouldn't be surprising given how bad the challenge was. But it is also surprising because he finished the game and created what should have been a good goal. So it's hard to envisage him then missing 12 weeks or 10 weeks after that.
Yeah, I'm no medic, of course, but it sounds like it may have been a little like green stick fracture or something that they didn't really know about and he was able to play on with at the time. But can be made worse, you know what I mean? But yeah, I don't know for sure. And I think it's interesting. It feels like the whole Thiago's transfer was a bit of a dream at the minute because, you know, he comes on in the second half against Chelsea, does that flashy performance, breaks records, plays against Everton, another blinding performance.
Match.
Yeah, and then there was that horrible, horrible tackle by Richarlison. And, you know, it poses the question, doesn't it? Because Richarlison was able to put in a tackle like that, got a straight red card, but a 3-match ban. But Thiago hasn't played since. Richarlison is back in action playing for Everton. Thiago's still unavailable. So, you know, it's an interesting one. And I think, I speak on behalf of all Liverpool fans when I say that we're absolutely buzzing to see this man in action. So hopefully he'll be back sooner rather than later. A bit more news. This one's about the Champions League. Liverpool will play their Champions League match against Midtjylland in Denmark. After all, the Danish club have confirmed this now. It's an interesting one, Sam, because I think Ian Doyle tweeted yesterday that it's been confirmed to be at Dortmund. But then straight away he said, oh, actually, it might not be. And now it seems to be in Denmark after all.
Oh, it's gone back to Denmark. See, I wasn't sure that. I thought it was going to be in... well, it would have benefited us to be at Dortmund, wouldn't it? Because it would have obviously given Klopp a bit of a reunion, a closer country for us to travel to, and also a nice big pitch that Michelin aren't used to. So the fact that we've now got to play at their ground... Is it going to be at their ground as well?
Yeah, I think so.
So, you know, it then gives them a bit of a boost. The only thing I would say is they've got nothing to play for at all, especially by that point as well. So it might be a bit of a tick box and exercise for them just to get the game done. There's not going to be fans in there, is there really? Or if there is, it'll be a very small amount. So I can't see it mattering too much, but it would have been a lot more mentally positive for us and negative for them not playing at their stadium before the game starts.
And a bit more news, good news, sorry. Liverpool may have 2,000 fans at the Wolves game next weekend. Liverpool, obviously, yesterday was announced as a Tier 2 city, and therefore we can have fans back in the stadiums. Sam, there's been loads this week about this, because obviously 2,000, it's going to be impossible to get a ticket, and I've been scrolling Twitter for spares already. realistically, they can't make everyone happy, Liverpool. It's a 2,000 allocation. I think Ross made a really good point on Reds News the other day. Tickets should be for key workers, surely.
Yeah, I I would have no qualms with that. I think if you ask most fans who, you know, that what they miss is the whole package, the build-ups of the game, being in the stadium, the atmosphere. For me, if you could give a load of kids who have had a tough time, or all those key workers, those teachers, those NHS staff who've been up against it, those postmen, those, you know, supermarket police, all those people who were working when we were fortunate enough to be at home should be given the opportunity to go. But, you know, I just want to just add this for any Liverpool representatives that are watching. I'm a top red. And I've got a season ticket, so please give me one. No, but I'd be quite happy to wait. But I think it's weird as well, because it's not like you're saying to us, right, there's going to be 2,000 for every game towards the end of the season, so you could kind of divvy it up. It's going to be 2,000 this week, potentially 4,000 in 6 weeks, God knows. So it's going to be all over the place. So what they're best doing for the first few games is what you've just suggested, making it a novelty for people who maybe aren't going to get a chance.
Yeah, it'd be a chance to build up some PR with a good decision straight away, unlike all the furlough stuff when it first happened. But, you know, I think it's one of them situations where, as I said, they can't really go right, but this is the best thing. And it's an important step in the right direction in terms of having a full Anfield again. So, you know, I think for the time being, give them to the key workers, avoid many arguments, and see where we go from there. Like you said, with the rates falling as much as they are in Liverpool, it may be 4,000 in a week or two's time. So, yeah.
And with the vaccine, it might just get stronger in the new year and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And finally, obviously, there's a reunion with Adam Lallana at the weekend, Sam. He's now at Brighton, of course. And Neco Williams has praised him ahead of Saturday. He said that he was the best player in training every day, and of course, Jurgen Klopp's favourite. So that's a bit on Adam Lallana. It sort of explains the player he was, Sam, doesn't it? You know, when Klopp first came in, I think he was one of the first names on the team sheet. And then, unfortunately, injuries took hold of his career, really, didn't they? So what do you make of Adam Lallana?
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it, to sort of have that reunion. And it's similar, obviously not to the same extent, but it was similar when all the lads saw Brewster a few weeks ago. You know, one thing I will say about this Liverpool team, though, is that they seem to be switch on. No matter who's their best friend, no matter who's they've played with for years, previous clubs, when it comes to being on the pitch, they all switch on. They all want to bay for blood and win games of football. And I think there'll be handshakes, cuddles. There'll be, you know, well, if you're not allowed cuddles, I suppose, there'll be fist pumps. There'll be sort of smiles and there'll be the odd nasty challenge. But I actually want to see someone like Milner, without breaking his leg, lift him off the ground, you know what I mean? Let him know he's playing against Liverpool now and that he doesn't play for us anymore. And he can shake hands and be best mates before and after the game. But when that game's on, I want to see Lallana being treated like the enemy, because that's what he is on Saturday. Great player, love him, wants them to do really well every other game, but when he's playing Liverpool. So unfortunately for him, it's that game. But I'll appreciate personally what he did for us. I really liked him as a player. I'm sure most fans did. Sure the players did. So I'm excited to sort of see that dynamic, but hopefully it's just a small detail.
That, of course, is if he's fit enough to play at the weekend. Because
exactly. Well, exactly. If we can't get anyone else out, to tell you.
But yeah, let's go into the comments now. Sir Klopp says, is this a throwback to the Red Men TV studio in 2013, lol? It certainly looks like it, doesn't it, there behind Sam. Johnny Walker says, sure ticks all the boxes for our squad depth. Young, tall, looks a good prospect with lots of potential and it's cheap for right now. NJYNWA says, sure trained with LFC at age 16. KJSJ7 says, I still have good faith in Nat Phillips with a run of games. He can be solid at the back. I knew that about Scher training with us at 16, and I think that's why it makes sense. That's why he seems to be our first choice. And I agree with Johnny Walker too about him ticking all the boxes in terms of squad depth, Sam. I think he has a few areas where he could improve, but of course he's young and he's got plenty of time on his side to do that. But I also agree with KJSJ7, and I think it's something that Klopp won't rush into. I think he'll wait and see his youth options at the minute, how, you know, Nat Phillips gets on, Billy Cometio as well, Reece Williams, of course, and make a decision in January based on how they're performing.
Yeah, exactly. And at the end of the day, Michael Edwards' job is to prepare the transfers, get the best deal for us, find those players. So it may well that this guy's been identified by that team. in particular to come in. But I agree with you. I think, you know, Nat Phillips has shown us a glimpse of the kind of things he can do. Hopefully he gets more opportunities and shows he can do even more. Rhys Williams has grown as a player. You know, also, we don't really know much about Gomez and Van Dijk's injury. The club have been very coy on that. It may well be that Gomez can play in February, you know, because he said it was bad, but it wasn't that bad. You know, I remember Laporte and Sané went down in August and September, respectively, and were back in January and March, respectively. So if you kind of look at the same sort of timescales, it may well be that we just need to get to January. And if the same four lads that are fit now can play, and we can add Nat Phillips to the Champions League squad, they may not move for anybody. It really does depend. But I think one thing we will do as a club is what we haven't done, what we've been doing, sorry, for the last few years is, like you say, they won't rush anything. They'll stick to the plan. If there's a centre-back they've been looking at, they'll keep looking at them. Where if they're the right player that they were going to maybe sign this summer, they might bring them in January. They may also bring in a loan because a full-time move isn't the best thing right now.
Yeah, I keep saying a Fabinho and Matip partnership is absolutely fine. The only worry is Matip's made of prawn crackers. So that's the worry, is looking into, you know, get into January with Matip playing absolutely every game.
Do you know what though, Jack? Something that I haven't heard enough people talk about is in 2018-19, Matip played a hell of a lot of football. And if you think of those weeks running up to the Champions League final, semi-final, league game, semi-final, league game, quarter-finals the same, final. He played twice a week a lot. Last year was a really bad year for him. He was really unlucky on a number of accounts. But he's proven in the past, when he is fit, for the chunk of time he's available, he doesn't need to be managed. Whether we need, we may need to manage him now, but then, a year and a half ago, he didn't need to be managed. Once he was fit, he was playing quarter-final, league game, quarter-final, league game, week off, you know, semi-final, league game, and so on. So it may well be that if Matip can get strong again by not playing international football, he can play those games. So fingers crossed anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Fingers crossed. I'll let you get back on with your afternoon, Sam. I hope you sit there with that in the background all afternoon. Cheers for joining me. And thank you, Tom, who you can't see, but he's working harder than me and Sam right now. We'll see you very soon. Enjoy your weekend. Up the Reds. Ta-ra.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.